Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Okay, Maysoon, can I just tell you my thoughts about the museum? Because you finally got me in for free and I went.
If you insist on it.
Listen, I'll talk about it for 1.5 minutes. Okay, time me.
Go ahead. You got me? Yeah, I got it.
Okay, this is what I really loved. Sherry Levine had a big little space, a huge little space with all her things. I did feel like a lot of the like parts that were really about women were framed as in their relationship to men, like Sherry Levine, all her shit was responding to Marcel Duchamp.
Yeah,
but I don't care because I love Sherry Levine and I loved that, and I was like, here she is.
Aww.
And then the little tiny Felix Gonzalez Torres puzzle, which is like showing Oscar Wilde's gravestone.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I loved that. It was very small, but it was still better than the new Whitney's fucking decorating a stairway with one of Felix Gonzalez Torres's fucking light bulb pieces. And it's like, do visitors
decorating
even know this is like one of the most important artists ever? Because it's just
insulting.
Like a goddamn bullshit sandwich. Little Jay DeFeo drawing
where Jada, what floor Fale. Is that on?
That was in the little drawing thing in the very beginning where you get a ticket
on
and
the
you
second
can,
floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I almost could sneak into that gallery, FYI. Hung Lu had a big old painting, loved that.
What floor
it's like
that
my
on?
Old buddies. Most of the stuff was up on the seventh floor.
Oh, okay.
Sherry Levine and all that, which is like
that's a contemporary
yeah
floor. The one
or people are calling it like the minority alcove or like minority
oh
report.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. That's yeah. Anyhow, that crazy surveillance show up there, like Video S Place or whatever, that
Place.
Was wackadoo.
I haven't seen that one.
That was really intense. A lot
Did
of things
like
really brought me into my body, and that's always interesting.
Ooh.
Where you like, because like it's such a cerebral thing to be in a museum, and you're all like in your head, and like everything you have like critical distance, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, did they see my vagina? Because there's like one
that's
looks
amazing.
Like they're looking in the bathroom. Okay, anyhow, then
is that
there's
the Julia Scher one?
Yeah,
she did a bunch of surveillance stuff. Cool.
Uh-huh. And then Hilla Becker and the other guy.
Burned and Hilla Becker.
Yeah.
Becher,
who did
yeah.
the motherfucking water towers. Great shit.
Love
that. That whole photo show
them.
That you liked, I really liked.
So good.
There was one, though, where it was like a garbage bag opened up and stuck to a thing. And that's like, it's been, I feel like it's getting really in vogue now to do like
videos
that are pictures, kind of, where nothing really changes, but it's just moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really like that one because I felt like the top was kind of blown out a little bit. Mm. But that's fine. Good job. Sheared in a shot. That's a video that was
still
awesome.
Haven't seen it. Is so it, I wonder if it's the one I've seen already.
And that other weird video with the bubble everywhere, that was also on the seventh floor. I think that was a great one. The bubble just goes and goes. I watched the
What's
whole thing.
What's the bubble everywhere?
There's a bubble.
You have a name for that
the
person?
Video is like following the bubble all over in this house, and it's like, are they moving in or
like
moving out? Why is this apartment empty?
Like a children's bubble, like a
like
a,
yeah,
a
like
soap
a bubble you
bubble?
Would blow, yeah.
Is it
and
large?
It's like the same size, and
How
it's
do
there's
they do
cuts.
It?
There's cuts.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyhow, loved it. Also, there's a Waldo across the street. If you look out the one of the windows, have you been seeing that?
Well, some people in Sideshow pointed it out to me, and I was not that excited about it.
Oh, I love Waldo. Okay. Also, okay, here, there were, you know, I just kind of skipped over the Fisher collection because that was kind of like irritating.
You'll have plenty of time to see it. It's just fine.
No, I mean, I never want to see it. I tried deliberately to ignore it. The too much Ellsworth Kelly, just too much of all of them. Somebody wrote in a review that it was like the Fishers were just like the Gap. They were like, I just want one in every color. And that's how it felt to me.
Aww.
Except I did love, of course, the Agnes Martin
room
was beautiful.
The biggest complaint I've heard about the Agnes Martin room is that it was too small, or it felt kind of like shoved in the corner.
But
like,
you
here's
said,
the one woman artist here. Yeah.
But you said that?
That it was actually designed after her own design.
So, yeah. So take it up with the ghost of Agnes Martin,
it's,
haters.
It is slightly smaller, but
JK. JK
what?
To the haters and JK to the ghost. Tom Otterness made those cute doorways with the little cute
yes.
people. I love that.
Yeah.
That's on the fourth floor?
Fifth floor.
Something.
It
then,
the
oh, the my notice, then when I got to the fourth floor, I was like, hey, we're back. In the old museum.
Oh. I'm like, what?
Christopher Wilmarth had a great big one that's like glass and steel.
A
it's
great,
like over.
Great
he had a great big one.
Oh my
it's like after all the Ellsworth Kelly and all that. Anyhow, I wasn't crazy about the sculpture, but I thought the room kind of smelled like the zoo. The room smelled weird.
Okay, so that's on the fifth floor?
I think it was must have been fourth floor.
Kelly's on the fourth floor.
So, you know, I couldn't keep track of all those giant-ass paintings.
Was it in the... Was it a sculpture that you're talking about?
Yeah, great big sculpture made out of glass and steel. On the side in the city gallery? And it looks kind of like a... Steel. It's like a big... It's flat, but it stands up. Kind of like a Richard Serra, but not
it's
all jazz.
It's big and flat. It's flat, but it
it's
stands up.
It's big
and
flat. It's huge. It's a great big one. You don't know it? Anyhow, it smelled like the elephant pen at the zoo. It was weird in there.
What were the materials?
Glass and steel. Or some kind of metal.
Did you say that already?
Like five times. Okay, and then my only other thoughts on the Agnes Martin room were there was nobody in there when I was there, even though it was like a really busy time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very cool.
Did you sit there for a little bit?
They were very beautiful. That seat that you can sit on has no lumbar support, so bring your own visitors.
It's a bench.
I know.
It's not a seat.
Well, I'm just saying if you're going to sit for a long time, that could be very bad for your sciatica. Also,
you probably should just stand if you have bad sciatica. It might be better for you.
That's true, Mason. Or lay down. Also, made me want to know more about Agnes Martin, because I don't know that much about her. So that was very inspiring. Except there's a book by, I think, Bryony Fair about that has a lot of Agnes Martin stuff.
Okay, should we do those a little research project about Agnes Martin tomorrow for next week?
No, that's okay. Listener, do your own. That's the point of the damn museum, is you go and you learn old things and you do some of your own research. Oh, another issue that I'm very upset about is that in that Robert Rauschenberg and Jasper Johns room, that's like all just those two guys stuff, and then it talks a little bit about John Cage and shit, it never says that they were a couple. And they totally were, and it's weird. And I just read an article by Jonathan Katz about them that's in a book.
But I don't think that they were that...
Rauschenberg said in an interview, talked about them being intimate and affectionately involved.
No, I mean, it's clear that they were a couple. I think a lot of people probably know Rauschenberg was open
about it. And like, it's known. Jonathan Katz wrote about it in this book called Significant Others, mm-hmm. or he had an essay that was collected in it.
Yeah.
And he said that like part of the reason that art history never talks about it is because it's fucking homophobic. Like the art historical world is homophobic.
Right. I mean, I guess we do talk about, we all know like what hetero art couples were together.
Oh, tons. Yeah.
Like that's pretty.
And that's in the little database that I went to the little kiosk in front of the drawing area where you can look up like.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a whole thing about like Frida and
Diego,
yep,
of course.
And all that shit. Yep. Yeah. So. SF MoMA, what the fuck? It's San Francisco. No one's going to get mad when you talk about Jasper Johns and Rauschenberg blowing each other. Get over it.
Agreed.
Okay, so those are my points.
I'll
and
take
thoughts.
That into the curatorial committee tomorrow.
That was a lot more than a minute and a half. I apologize. Let's move on to more contemporary events.
We went to a production of The West Side Story this weekend. On Memorial Day, it was very fun, up at Mount Tam. So Mount Tam has an outdoor amphitheater. Amphitheaters are outdoors.
So this whole thing was outside?
It was outside. It was on top of the mountain. It was the 103rd season of these outdoor plays. Isn't that crazy? 103
Wild.
Fucking years this has been going on.
Jesus.
That's serious. Anyhow, so it was very fun. I love The West Side Story, personally. I mean,
me too.
There were many moments where Jimbo and I were both crying.
Of course.
Lots of moments
it's
of crying.
Fucking Romeo and Juliet.
There were some really great choreographic moments in which I actually had to stand up and like move to the side so that I could like really, really see all of the movement.
Damn,
properly. Because I was sort of like, I can't see over this person's head. I must go stand somewhere where I can see the whole.
That's awesome.
I mean, it was like in the beginning, you know, the when you're a jet, like that whole scene where it's like really sharp. It's just a really good, fun time.
They're fucking flying all
over
the place.
They're flying. They're like doing all these like knee slides across the stage. It's like really cool. But it was super fun. I highly recommend it to people if you are into some weird outdoor theater adventure.
Hell yeah.
Go for it.
How far away is that?
You basically drive to Mount Tamalpais High School, which is maybe like a 40-minute drive from San Francisco. And then you get on a little yellow school bus that takes you up the mountain.
Wow.
Because there's not enough parking for like 1,000 people up there. So you take a yellow school bus up there, you bring a picnic, there's all these kids' activities. So it's encouraged that you go early and you spend like a couple hours just like hanging out and it's, you know, whatever outside. And then the production starts, and that's probably 2 hours. And then Jimbo and I actually hiked back down the mountain. It's a 6-mile hike down. And a lot of people were doing it. It was super easy and fun, although our calves were sore the next day. Because it's like straight downhill.
And it's weird going down a mountain.
Yeah.
But it's a little wobbly weirdy.
Well, I mean, it's not. It's zigzag. I mean, it took us like 3 hours to get down because you're dropping an elevation 2,000 feet. So it's kind of a bit. But it was either that or waiting like 1 or 2 hours to get on a shuttle because there were just so many people waiting in line. We're like, let's just walk down and you can
beautiful
like,
scenery.
Gorgeous scenery.
Also this week I had the very pleasureful honor. Is that a weird thing to say?
It's fine.
Of being in a video shoot for video artist Laura Kim.
Oh, cool. That's right.
Let's hear a little bit from her about the project she's doing. We're here in beautiful Pacific Felt Factory in the Mission District of San Francisco, California, talking to Laura Hyunji Kim. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you've got coming up here?
So I'm doing a residency, a 3-week-long residency at the Black and White Projects, the Mission, curated by Rhiannon McFadyen. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. It's my final week here next week, and I'll be finishing up some projects. I've been doing a lot of green screen shoots with a lot of different people from different walks of life, and we'll be compiling a final video project showcasing next Friday, June 3rd, from 7 to 10 p.m. So if you're around the area, definitely come by and check it out.
It was a very interesting experience.
How was your experience?
I would describe it as almost a guided meditation where a person is directed through a kind of choreographed interaction with their smartphone.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I'm compiling as many people with their phones as possible because every time I walk around the streets, especially in San Francisco, it's hard to make eye contact with anybody because they're just looking at the screen all day long, including myself. I'm very much obsessed with my phone and I'm not shy saying it out loud. I have an addiction. But it's just, that's how much I feel like we're attached to these digital gadgets and how much they dictate our lives. So I just wanted to do a kind of like a performative interaction with my friends and people who are interested in participating in the project in compiling as many images of people on their phones.
Do you ever think about downgrading back to a dummy phone?
I would probably not. At this point, I like having the internet on my hands. I know that Motorola is coming up with a old school Razr phone. Like they're bringing it back, I hear, a flip phone. Because some teenagers now they're anti smartphones. Or I think there's a group of like I think a movement happening where it's not cool anymore to have the internet on your hands. And that's been intriguing for me. But as somebody who lived through the evolution of cell phones, I definitely like being on the more connected side of it.
That's so weird that that's happening. I just bought a Motorola Razr for me and my friend Eli are trying to downgrade together because we feel like it. We have like, it's, I can't sleep at night.
I fall asleep with my phone on my face. So I understand that. But isn't it nice being connected sometimes?
I really need the GPS, I feel like. When I really get down to it and I'm, like, ready to, like, activate the dummy phone, I'm like, how will I ever find my way again?
But another thing is that I don't have a lot of phone numbers anymore. Even when we were trying to coordinate today, I didn't have your phone number and we were emailing back and forth. I feel like email has become almost like equivalent to text message in terms of immediacy. So there's all these different channels we use to try to talk to each other constantly. So it is a little, it could feel like a little too much, but I think that's an interesting aspect of living now and being part of this whole, like, I think cultural shift in a way of how we interact with each other.
So long story short, is it gonna kill us?
I actually read an article yesterday on my phone at night about how 5 to 9% of the rats that were exposed to a cell phone radiation got brain tumor. And so, I mean, we haven't lived like 100 years with these devices yet, so we have no idea what it will become. Maybe it'll start exploding one device at a time. Or, I don't know, maybe like it's a global conspiracy to, you know, send out virus to, I don't contaminate everybody through these digital devices. But it's not going to kill us.
That's good. That's where I was hoping that would land. All right. Well, I hope all the listeners listening to this on their phone right now are feeling real secure.
I listened to the last episode, I believe, on my phone, your podcast. So
I listen to it constantly also on my phone.
What's your favorite thing to do on your phone?
Listen to this podcast.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks for having me today.
Thank you so much. And everyone, be sure to come out. Can you remind us the date and time one more time?
Black and White Projects. It's from 7 to 10 p.m., June 3rd, next Friday. There's also a lot of events happening in the Mission, I believe, within the arts. So if you're in the area, come by and say hi.
Yay. And that's housed within the Pacific Felt Factory.
Yes, correct. I don't remember the actual address, but I believe it's around 20th and Bryant Street.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to us today. And as always, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Text us 419-351-6606, or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. So we've been meaning to talk about Take This Hammer.
Take This Hammer, curated by Christian Frock over at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts.
And now we will talk about it.
I recently have gone through some like new phases of thinking about the show.
Okay, let's hear them.
And I kind of actually would be curious to talk to Christian about it, but just like, what does it mean to have, I guess I'm trying to think of like what the intention of the show is for her as a curator. Like, is she trying to draw, to bring light to the artists in the show and the activism that they're creating around certain issues in the Bay Area? But there's also something from, which I'm sure is what she's doing, but there's something about it that makes me think, like, so much of the work in the show is recognizable to me as, like, a Bay Area resident. Like, I've seen posters on the street, I've heard of different actions around Google buses, that's, like, still so current that I question, like, what happens to it when it gets, like, exhibitionized.
Like, reified or codified,
you know, or museumified,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Gallerized.
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 I love that.
And I it just sort of made me think, like, wow, this is still so urgent and active in so many ways. And so what happens when is it becoming historicized already, even though it's not history, or it's like, it's still really happening in our community. I don't know. Just like, I think cause I've been thinking about the show and we've seen it multiple times and they've had different, like, there's the initial response and there's a sort of like the response that trickles down later. And that's kind of where I am now thinking about it. And from that context and how do I feel about it being historicized or gallerized in this moment?
Gallerized. Well, we do have to say that having Persia and Daddy's Plastic and their video, Google apps right at the beginning
is amazing.
The only possible way.
I think I watched it like three times in a row when I first saw someone. Oh, yeah. Even though I've seen it so many times on YouTube.
Oh yeah. Twitter, Twitter me. Facebook, Facebook me. Hey girl, did you tag me in that pic? Silicone, Silicon Valley. Silicone, Silicon Valley. Hey girl, did you get that eviction notice? Google, Google apps, apps. Google, Google apps, apps. Gringa, gringa apps, apps. I just wanna be white. Google, Google apps, apps. Google, Google apps, apps. Gringa, gringa apps, apps. I just wanna be white.
That's a very strong open for sure for that show.
Absolutely.
And then,
Did
you have anything to
say? I really loved Indira Allegra's work.
That's the digital videos. Textiles. Yeah, uh-huh. That work is amazing.
And I really extra super love it. I really like the idea of queer craft in video form.
Yeah. Cool.
Good job. Mm. So when you saw Tucker Nichols, you were kind of like, what's this shit?
I was like, what is he doing in this show? Like, what, right. How is he, like, it felt out of place to me.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, I kind of skipped over it a little bit in that with that in mind. And the second time I went back, I spent more time looking at it because my inclination is always to like second guess myself, but to sort of like look into what challenges me and sort of like revisit or review.
That's good. And that's a good thing too.
I spent way more time looking at his work, and so there was basically an installation of all of these New York Times op-ed pages. Or
like his illustrations that
his illustrations done. And so they're like a much more subtle sort of political commentary around what the different articles were written. So like oil, you know, there's one piece where there's like these oil spills, like, you know, oozing down a page. There's clear like environmental or climate, you know, commentary happening there, which I sort of turned around a little bit around why it made sense to me that that work was in the show.
Did you have new thoughts about the Guantanamo Bay Art and History Museum?
That's the one I actually haven't spent enough time looking into.
I love that.
I know. I think initially when we first went, I was kind of like, this is confusing. What's the point of this? It's going to are people going to think that Guantanamo is actually closed, if it's actually this park or whatever?
Right. So it's like, what the project is like, they're operating in almost like an alternate reality where Guantanamo Bay prison has closed, even though it hasn't.
Yeah.
But they're saying like, just as Obama promised, Guantanamo Bay was closed in whenever, 2012 or whatever. And they have, and it's as though a art and history museum has been constructed there
in its place.
And so that's their project. And so,
right.
I think what's at YBCA is like just a little taste of that project. They have a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think they had a show at Worth Rider Gallery a couple of years ago. But anyhow,
I think my initial response was it felt somewhat, irresponsible.
How you were saying about making it history by entombing it and gallerizing it.
Gallerizing, yeah.
Maybe it's just because my family was just in town and they were like kind of acting clueless about like the rent crisis in San Francisco. And I was like, this is national news. And I feel like I've talked to you guys about it. How do you not know this is going on? And so like I could see a tourist coming by YBCA after like going to SF MoMA and being like, oh, there's another little art thing. And then rolling in there and getting like slapped in the face with this shit. And I'm into that.
Yeah.
I think they would understand that this is all talking about right now. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like the digital videos are like fresh, like all that Leslie Dreyer and the Google buses is like, you'd know that's happening now.
Yeah, you'd have to.
And like, you know, all the shit. All the didactics and all the text and all the shit. It's like explaining all that. I think. And like all the big infographics straight up have all the years and shit on it. And, you know, a lot of it is very like upfront. Agitprop kind of shit. So it's explaining just in its own self, explaining when and where and who is involved in the shit that they're talking about.
Another work I think I liked, I'm not sure how you felt about it, was by Adrienne Sky Roberts.
Which one was that?
She's the one who did the postcards with the women in
person. Yeah. Those were great.
That was a great
I love things you can project. Take with you.
Me too.
So anyhow, long story short, we got a lot of fucking problems in this country. Institutional racism and the prison industrial complex are fucking genocide.
Shit's fucked up.
We got to change it. The system is fucked up. You know that, listener. You better fucking know that.
And
take some action.
Yeah.
Damn right.
I think it's inspiring that, definitely. Like going through that show, you're like, yeah, all these people are stepping up and doing all of these, you know, gestures or actions or whatever that are like within reach for them. It's like, you know, an action can be as small as making a drawing or as large as who knows what, you know. Like I think that's the thing I feel like that show sort of brings forward, is that you think when you're thinking about like fighting the system, it feels so overwhelming, but I think that show reminds you that like small actions like making a video and putting it on YouTube, which maybe is actually very hard sounding to me, but a lot of people do it, is an action nonetheless. And it's like, it's certainly, I don't know, it's worthwhile. Like, do whatever you can do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Go check it out. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your takes on it. P.S.
You can't P.S.
Well, we're still looking for contributions. If people want to contribute to the show, do a little audio, do a little recording of your own. We pay for that. So yeah. Send your proposal in. We're not making any promises.
Yeah, send your proposal in.
To congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Woo!
Long story short, from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.